Welcome to Invested in Climate. Protecting the planet and decarbonizing the global economy is the challenge of our time. We all have a role to play, and the opportunity we face is unprecedented. Invested in Climate aims to help people do more to address climate change through their work, investments, lifestyle, and activism. I'm your host, Jason Rissman. I support a growing community of top climate and ESG leaders as the Chief Experience Officer at Nationswell, and I'm an advisor to the climate practice at IDEO. I'm also an investor and startup advisor, and when it comes to climate action, I know I'll be a lifelong learner, always looking to have more impact. If you like what you hear, give us a good rating on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you found us. Sign up for updates and suggest ideas for future episodes at investedinclimate.com. Follow us on social, subscribe, and spread the word. Thanks for joining.
Hey everyone, if you think of MasterCard as simply a piece of plastic that enables you to buy stuff, you're not seeing their vast network of businesses, their billions of customers, or the potential influence they have on consumer behavior. There have been countless efforts over the years to encourage consumers to shop more sustainably. But when it comes with the reach and data savvy that MasterCard brings, it's a whole different ballgame. I've known MasterCard's Chief Sustainability Officer, Ellen Jakowski, for many years, and I was delighted to sit down with her to understand MasterCard's sustainability strategy. We talk about Ellen's background and approach to leadership, the current moment in sustainability, MasterCard's effort to encourage sustainable consumption at scale, how they've spread sustainability goals across their entire company, and much, much more. Ellen is a widely respected thought leader in corporate sustainability, and this conversation offers a peek inside an ambitious and very challenging effort to create real impact. MasterCard is a Nationswell member and will soon share a summary of this conversation as part of Nationswell's Sustainability Next series. Enjoy. Hello, Ellen. Welcome to Invested in Climate and Sustainability Next.
Thanks, Jason. Excited to be here.
Well, close listeners will note that my welcome was slightly different than usual. Today, I get to wear two hats in this conversation, as we'll post the audio version of this interview as an Invested in Climate podcast, and we'll summarize the interview as part of the Sustainability Next editorial series we're running at Nationswell. So with both hats on, thanks for being here. Ellen, we met first years ago when you were at HP, where you were leading sustainability, but I don't think I know what made you passionate about climate change and sustainability to begin with. So let's start there. What brought you to this field, and was there a moment in your life that galvanized your commitment to bold climate action?
Sure. Well, and again, thanks for having me for this conversation. In terms of why am I in this job? How did I even get here? It really started with my parents, actually. I grew up close to Washington, D.C., and I was part of a family where on the weekends, at times we would head down to the mall in front of the Capitol and the White House. And I learned to use my voice at a very early age to kind of stand up for things that I wanted to see within the community. And that continued in high school. My first job was working at Ben & Jerry's, an ice cream shop. And if you know Ben & Jerry's, their story is pretty amazing. They were one of the earliest companies to really embed social and environmental values directly into their business model. So I was just scooping ice cream, but I really saw the value of how a business could align with social and environmental imperatives and create a difference from a business point of view. Fast forward, here I am at MasterCard as their Chief Sustainability Officer. But those early experiences, I think, really formed my perception that I could make a difference being part of a company where environmental and social values are really part of the business strategy and can make a difference.
Incredible. I never would have thought that working at an ice cream store would count as environmental action, but it absolutely is aligned to the idea of working for purpose-driven companies like you continue to do now at MasterCard. I'd love to dive in and hear more about your current role and also just understand the shift. About 2 years ago, you made the move from HP to MasterCard. Tell us about the shift and tell us what you're working on at MasterCard.
Sure. Well, I really grew up in sustainability at HP. I was there for about 15 years, always in sustainability. HP, kind of a little bit similar to Ben & Jerry's, was founded by two innovators who really prioritized, at the time it was called global citizenship. Our language has changed. We now call it sustainability and other things. But that's really where I kind of learned about this space in a very deep way. HP, of course, is a large global company similar to MasterCard, but it also makes products, right? A little bit different than MasterCard, right? PCs, printers, 3D printing. There's a lot of plastic, a lot of metal, a lot of material that goes into those products. And really the challenge there was on the supply side. How do you decarbonize a big supply chain? How do you reduce the energy consumption of those products and services? How do you create a regenerative circular economy? Well, okay, MasterCard doesn't really make anything, right? We're a payments network. So a much different opportunity here, more on the demand side, if you will. And here, I think when you look at who is MasterCard, we have 90 million merchants on our network, 20,000 banking partners, and over 3 billion cards in circulation. So we have a tremendous scale. If you think about 8 billion people on the planet, approximately, and MasterCard touches almost half, that's pretty significant. So we have a unique opportunity. I have a unique opportunity being part of MasterCard to help drive sustainable consumption. So moving from one set of sustainability problems on the supply side to now on the demand side, and how do you change purchasing behaviors?
Fantastic. Ellen, before we dive into some of the exciting programs that you're leading at MasterCard, help set the stage for us. How would you define this present moment in sustainability, and what trends fill you with optimism and which ones make you concerned?
Well, maybe I'll start with the concerning areas first. So here's a couple statistics. 17% of all food available at consumer levels is wasted, right? A lot of waste in our food systems. In the last 15 years, clothing production has doubled, while the number of times a garment is worn before being discarded has decreased by 36%. Domestic and international aviation is responsible for about 10% of global emissions in the transport sector, and an estimated 1% of the world population is responsible for more than half of these emissions. So, you know, some big stats that talk about we have a big problem on our hands. I think there's no doubt about that. But in terms of the optimism here, it's clear that the next generation of consumers are pushing and demanding companies, governments, all the important stakeholders to take meaningful action, right? Don't just talk the talk, but you better be walking the walk. And as this next generation of voices are getting louder, they have the ability to influence market shifts, and we're seeing that. So a couple stats on the optimistic side, 85% of consumers are willing to take personal action to combat environmental and sustainability issues. That's a huge percentage of the population. In the fashion industry, we're starting to see a reversal of fast fashion trends as 58% of Gen Z and millennial consumers understand that their closets contribute to climate change. So all signs are pointing to the fact that we're inevitably heading into a new market context driven by the necessity and value shifts with a lot of opportunity to optimize business models. And that's really what I'm focused on. That's what MasterCard is focusing on. So defining this present moment in sustainability, we just need to stay very focused on the innovation and solutions.
Thanks, Ellen. I really appreciate that you focus all of those trends really on the areas where you are focused and focusing on consumers and consumer opportunities, whether it's with food, with apparel, with air travel, all things that we make decisions on every day and our consumption can make a difference. Let's turn now to the opportunity you have at MasterCard to drive climate action at scale. You mentioned some of the stats and some of the size of the network. Let's go deeper into that. Consumers might think of MasterCard as being the credit card they use, but that's not really an accurate view of how the company works or the reach and influence you have. So talk to us a bit about that reach and how it informs your sustainability strategy.
I'm going to focus a bit more on the environmental side as we have this discussion. When we think about the opportunity that we have, I mentioned the scale of our network with those 90 million merchants all the way to the 3 billion cards in circulation. We really have an opportunity to drive sustainable consumption. And for us, it really is around three pillars to that strategy: inspire, inform, and enable. And we're really thinking about these things in a much different way of how do we use the power of our network to help change people's perceptions of what they want, right? Like, how do we inspire them to want to live a more sustainable, fulfilling lifestyle? And we have our brand, Priceless, that continues to evolve. And part of that evolution is to incorporate sustainability into what is Priceless and helping inspire our merchants on the platform, as well as the cardholders, to really think in a different way about the lifestyle they want and how they want to live and the choices they want to make. The second pillar there is inform. So here, this is really about if people now are inspired and want to live a more sustainable, fulfilling lifestyle, how do we provide the right information at the right time for them to be informed to make a more sustainable decision? And here, that's tricky. We've seen this time and time again in this field of, is X more sustainable or is Y more sustainable? There are so many different ways to look at this. So we have a lot more work to do in this field, but we have our first product out, the MasterCard Carbon Calculator, which provides a certain level of information to cardholders around sustainable choices and the carbon impacts of what they're purchasing. And then the third pillar is Enable. If you're inspired, you want to live a sustainable lifestyle, you're informed, you know and have the data to understand what is a more sustainable choice, then how do we enable that? How do we offer opportunities for consumers to take real action, meaningful action? So that's really the broad strokes of how we're thinking about leveraging the power of our network across merchants all the way to cardholders.
Fantastic. Ellen, before we go deeper into Inspire, Inform, and Enable, which I want to do, let's talk high level about sustainable consumption, which sometimes gets a bad rap, as in given the enormity and complexity of climate change and the need for entire industries to transform, it's easy to say that it's a systems problem, which it is, and say that consumers won't make that much of a difference. And so I'm curious, how do you react to that point of view?
I mean, look, it definitely is a systems problem. Everyone along the value chain has a clear role and responsibility to play. And particularly, again, coming from HP, which was kind of on the merchant side of MasterCard's value chain, if you will, was a producer of products and services. Companies that are producing these things have a clear responsibility. So I don't want to underestimate what that looks like. And similarly, MasterCard has a big responsibility. We make money when people buy things. So this is a problem for us to figure out in terms of how do we transform our business model to transition to sustainable consumption in a way that is profitable for the business. Like, that's a very real question that we're thinking about, that people along our network are also thinking about, and we're innovating together. But what is clear is we all have to change, right? We have to shift how we are buying things, what we're buying, how long we're using them, what they're made of, and we can be part of the solution. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Fantastic. Let's go deeper into the weeds now, hear more about Inspire, Inform, and Enable. Tell us what's working, where do you see the areas of most promise, and also what's challenging and something that you're still scratching your head on?
Okay, so again, I mentioned Inspire. This is really about stirring up hope and optimism and people's ability to affect change. One of the benefits of working for MasterCard, which I didn't realize at the time, but now I certainly do, is we have some really powerful sponsorships. MasterCard sponsors the Grammys, Major League Baseball, a lot of different golf and tennis activities. So we work with some incredible influencers, some of the top artists and athletes in the world and their organizations. One of the sponsorships that we recently activated around sustainable consumption with the Inspire pillar in focus was our partnership with the Grammys just a few weeks ago. And so there we partnered with SZA, the most nominated Grammy artist of 2024. And she dropped a new song called Saturn on the Sunday night of the Grammys. And if you watch the video, it's set in a forest. The tone of the song and the visuals that are all around it are really meant to kind of evoke this aspiration of the future of Earth. Anyway, it was a great kind of test and learn opportunity to partner around one of our big environmental programs, our Priceless Planet Coalition, which is a goal to restore 100 million trees, connect that with one of the most influential artists and activate at a big platform like the Grammys.
I watched the video. It was completely beautiful, just stunning setting. And we'll make sure to include a link to it in the show notes as well as in the article. Have you been able to see any clear results from the video drop?
Well, so one kind of quick vignette about that. The week after the Grammys, Lyft was one of our activation partners. So Lyft had donated a significant amount of money. So during the time of the Grammys and a couple weeks following, anytime you took a Lyft ride in the United States, $2 would be donated towards that ride in efforts to restore a tree. So I was with actually a member of the board of Conservation International. At the time, we were booking a Lyft ride. Conservation International is our implementing partner for the Priceless Planet Coalition. And lo and behold, what popped up? SZA's video. Lyft messaged me through the app to say, your ride is part of restoring a tree. And it was just a great way to connect everything that had happened at the Grammys, the big activation we had, and Lyft was able to be a part of the solution. We also did an activation with SiriusXM. So I personally kind of saw it in action in my real life, not just in my work life, which was really exciting. So to know that all of these experiences are happening at the individual consumer level all over the United States connected to what we were doing at the Grammys was phenomenal. Now, this was our first kind of biggest activation, biggest sponsorship out with the Priceless Planet Coalition. So we're still gathering a lot of the data, but so far, really impressive numbers in terms of the number of people that we've been able to reach and their positive impressions of the campaign and what we're trying to do to restore forests.
Fantastic. Well, great example of what you're doing on the inspiring thread. Moving to informing or enabling, you mentioned a carbon calculator. Do you have some sense of how that's going and what sort of impact it's creating?
Yeah. So the carbon calculator is our first product out in the informed space. And what that does to the issuers who we work with who make it available to the cardholder, at the end of the month, you get your bill and you see the line items of what you purchased and the total financial impact. And you see the line items of what you purchased and the estimated carbon impact. We partner with Deconomy, which is a third party, to help people track the carbon footprint and understand that environmental impact. We know right now that it is at the merchant code level. We're trying to move down eventually to the SKU level. So more work for us to do to get more granular. More work for us to do as well to move it pre-transaction. Right now, we provide that information after you've purchased something, but we're also working with our merchants to test around what happens if we can provide that same type of information during that purchasing period, which is a better time, I would say, for people to be informed to make those decisions. So more work to go, but we're really excited for this first version of our product. And there's clear demand for that. We've had a lot of rollout in Europe. We're also rolling out in the US and in Asia. This is really exciting to kind of work on how do we provide better information for consumers to make better choices.
Great. Ellen, big purchases, of course, make a big difference. And I'm thinking about things like cars and HVAC systems and kitchen remodels. Sometimes credit cards come into the play. Sometimes you pay in other ways. But I'm curious, how do you think about influencing those sorts of purchases that have a large emissions profile?
Well, information is power. And informed consumers are powerful. So our hope is that providing consumers with as much information as possible about the purchases they make on their MasterCard, the more empowered that they will be. So we know there's more out there as well for people to do, but providing information about this estimated environmental impact of most of their purchases, we're aiming to support a holistic mind shift. So you got to start somewhere, and this is where we have the most control. So we're working there first.
Great. MasterCard, as you mentioned, of course, is a very global company. So I'm curious, what are you learning about promoting sustainable consumption in different parts of the world? And what can it teach us here in the US?
Diversity really brings strong solutions. So the more that we're experimenting all over the world with different markets, we're learning a lot. So we're definitely keeping an eye, of course, on the EU market. They tend to be some of the strongest innovators in the sustainability space. The EU is focused right now on the digital product passport. So that's helping to make the task of making informed decisions less complicated, both for businesses as well as consumers, to make more sustainable purchase choices. There's a lot more work for the EU to do there, but we've had some really productive discussions with them around what they're doing and how that could help inform what we're trying to do with our carbon calculator. It's also really important that we don't treat all consumption and all consumers the same across all regions, right? When you look at where most of the consumption is happening, most of the carbon creation is happening, it's in countries like the United States, right? So being very clear on where we're trying to drive sustainable consumption behaviors and what that looks like for different regions, I think is really important.
Fantastic. Let's move on from sustainable consumption. Part of your role, of course, is also seeing MasterCard's own journey to net zero. And I know that you're a signatory of the Climate Pledge and are working aggressively to decarbonize. What's been the biggest challenge in reaching your own net zero goals for a company like MasterCard?
We're not a manufacturer. So in general, our carbon footprint, typically for a size of the company that we are and with the global reach, is quite small. But that said, we still have a hard journey to reach net zero. When you break down our carbon footprint, the biggest section is our data centers, both in our scope 1 and 2 emissions, as well as our scope 3. So the data centers that we own and operate ourselves and the ones that we lease. And then we also know that as AI and blockchain and other powerful computing technologies continue to expand, that's going to be the source of growth for our company. But that could also potentially be the source of emissions growth as well. So we know that as we're building and expanding, in leveraging these new technologies, we really need to focus on emissions reductions, particularly in our data centers. This morning, actually, we had a town hall with our technology team where we launched our, what we're calling our ESG in action guide for our technology team. So the team that makes all the decisions around our data centers. So we're really engaging at the individual employee level with tools and education and awareness about the choices that they make will determine if MasterCard hits our net zero goal or not. And the great news is, had a very warm reception this morning. Their leadership team is on board. The employees asked a lot of questions. They're part of the sustainability team. So very excited about what we're doing there and how we're going to continue to focus on decoupling our growth from our emissions. And in fact, if you look at our 2022 ESG report, you'll see that MasterCard experienced 18% growth in net revenue, but only a 3% increase in our emissions. Now, more work for us to do, no doubt, but it's a good demonstration of how we're beginning to see the signs of decoupling our corporate growth from our GHG emissions.
I'm going to back up for a second because you just made the statement that they're part of the sustainability team. And that's something that I think a lot of sustainability leaders are spending a lot of time thinking about, is how to structure their team, how to integrate sustainability across the business and into product and different business units. Any lessons that you've gathered that you can share about the best ways to organize and what's working?
Well, there are carrots and sticks. One of the things MasterCard did almost 2 years on now was change our compensation system. So all 30,000 employees are now compensated on an annual basis on our progress against our ESG goals. So that's a big deal. Every February, each employee gets their annual compensation statement. There are three lines. The first line is, what's your base salary? Did you get a percentage increase? The second line is, what percentage of bonus are you available for? What percentage did you get? And the third, my most favorite line, is our ESG modifier. Did we hit our ESG goals for the year? And did you get a bonus based on that? And so for 2 years running, yes, we did. Yes, all 30,000 employees got that bonus because of our goals. And so in that sense, that really is a true statement, right? The expectation is every MasterCard employee is paid on our ability to hit our ESG targets, and therefore they're on the team. So now that we've got kind of that incentive built in to the financial structure of how the company works, we followed that up with mandatory ESG in action training. It was 10 minutes, so not a heavy lift. It stated, what is MasterCard's ESG strategy? What are the goals that we have in this space? And then at a very high level, because it was addressing all 30,000 employees at once, what can you do? What are actions that you can take? And now we follow that up with these very specific ESG in action guides. I mentioned the one for the technology team, but we're developing one for our marketing team, for our finance team, for our products and engineering team, that are custom. So each employee can see, how do I connect in? What am I supposed to do? So sure, yes, turning off the lights when you leave a conference room, recycling your beverages, containers, and that sort of stuff, important. But in your job role, for us to hit our goals, like net zero, like our financial inclusion goal to include 1 billion people by 2025, like our gender equality goals, what role do you play and how can you help us advance those? So really excited about our employee empowerment strategy and some of the innovation that we're doing. And I think it's making a difference.
Really exciting. And Ellen, very clearly central to your approach is influencing and tracking behavior change. And that's also really a key ingredient to Scope 3. And Scope 3 is a real challenge for many companies. And so I'm curious, what have you learned about tackling Scope 3 that might be helpful to others?
80% of our emissions come from Scope 3. So like many companies, that's where the heavy lift is. And I mentioned data centers earlier, and overall, that's the biggest piece. But in our Scope 3, they're about a third of Scope 3. Fun fact, like what's the second after data centers? What would you guess? It's kind of a funny question. The answer is marketing. I wouldn't have thought about it, but now that I'm inside, I kind of understand that. So anyway, how do we deal with Scope 3? We actually baked that into our incentive structure, that ESG compensation modifier. For the past couple of years, the target has been around getting our suppliers to report to CDP, and that's what drove the compensation around our Scope 3 target. For this year, we've upped our game, and now it's about suppliers setting a science-based target. So we're building into our structure, to our incentives, these real actions and kind of continuing to ramp them up. They're getting harder and more demanding each year, as they should, with our suppliers. And so far, again, our suppliers have been very receptive to this. I think they're getting pressure not just from us, but from obviously the other companies that they're serving as well. So again, plenty to do, but we have a clear strategy. We're continuing to amp it up. And again, we've already seen some of the progress that I reported in those numbers around growth versus emissions. So we're making good progress.
Ellen, what about the millions of businesses that accept MasterCard and that are in your network? Are there ways that you can influence their own business practices and sustainability performance?
Our discussions around sustainable consumption are definitely bringing this kind of to the forefront. We've held a series of discussions now. The first one we started at Climate Week in New York last September. We held another discussion at COP28 in Dubai in November, and then a third discussion at Davos at the World Economic Forum. And each time these discussions, like, fine to talk, but how are we turning this into action? We're working to create a group of companies that are very focused on sustainable consumption. When you think about the big consortiums that are out there in the environmental space, this is one area where there's some white space. There's an opportunity for leadership and for a bit of disruption. And so that's what we're working on. And so far, again, the companies that we've convened, the dialogues that we've had, and the actions that are coming out of them and the ideas are pretty powerful. So very excited about that effort. And again, it's clear MasterCard cannot do it alone. We're going to need the full power of our value chain.
In addition to influencing consumers and decarbonizing MasterCard itself, you also have several other sustainability initiatives that are pretty ambitious and exciting. Let's hear briefly about a few of those. And you mentioned earlier the Priceless Planet Coalition. Tell us quickly more, and then I've got a couple more I want to ask you about.
Sure. And again, the Priceless Planet Coalition sits in Enable, right? That third pillar of our sustainable consumption strategy, inspire, inform, and enable. And what the coalition is about, again, coalition, because MasterCard can't do it alone. So we need to find partners who have a similar interest. The goal there is to restore 100 million trees focused on nature-based solutions and the importance of nature in tackling climate change. We've partnered with two incredible organizations, Conservation International and World Resources Institute. We've now got more than 140 partners globally who've all committed to running campaigns to engage consumers in this type of collective action. And again, the partners help raise the money, and Conservation International and WRI oversee the selection of where we're going to be doing these restoration projects, how they're being done, and how they're monitored and measured. And we've really focused on ensuring that we have the highest standards, the highest integrity in these reforestation efforts. If you've been paying attention to this space, it's pretty easy to have the right intention and then activate it in a way that isn't as effective as that intention. So we've been very careful, very intentional with CI and WRI to make sure that the structure of the program is really delivering. We now have a global portfolio of projects, 21 sites on 6 continents, and just really thrilled with the progress that we've made to date. Again, more work to do, but we're off to a very strong start.
Fantastic. Well, incredible partners. I'm a big fan of CI as well as WRI. Ellen, you're probably not aware of this, but I recently gave you and MasterCard a shout out on a previous episode with the Global Resilience Partnership, as I read about your commitment to bring 30 million people onto your Community Pass platform over the next 5 years. Tell us about that initiative.
Sure. Well, by leveraging our digital technology, MasterCard has created products like Community Pass, and that's a shared interoperable digital platform that increases people in low and medium income countries to provide access to the digital economy to help them build economic and often climate resilience. So it's a really great connection between the environmental side of the focus that we have as a company and connecting it to the social impact side as well. So oftentimes we like to think in certain structures, but really when you're creating social impact, oftentimes, and we're finding this at MasterCard with our focus on financial inclusion, what that's also building is climate resilience and toolkits for climate adaptation. So Community Pass, really with its focus on increasing access to critical services like healthcare, agriculture, and micro-commerce, has made a big difference in the world. And that's why we're very invested in this goal to bring 30 million people onto the platform over the next 5 years.
Another program that caught my eye is Start Path in Solidarity, a startup engagement program for underrepresented founders. Tell us what you're aiming to do.
Sure. So In Solidarity is our company's kind of startup engagement program for underrepresented founders and part of MasterCard's larger In Solidarity commitment to help narrow the racial wealth and opportunity gap in America. StartPath companies receive stage relevant support. So to kind of, depending on where they are, we scale the support to be very relevant, including enterprise partnership readiness training, a dedicated mentor, introductions to MasterCard customers, and opportunities for technology collaboration. So in turn, the startups then keep a pulse on innovation and look around corners to help co-create what's next in financial services. Some of the companies in the program, they're really great examples of how people with varied perspectives, different backgrounds and experiences, how they're so needed to help spearhead innovations that will transition us to a sustainable regenerative economy. And one example that I recently learned about was one of the impressive entrepreneurs in our Start Path program named Anthony Winslow. And he's pioneering loan programs to help nonprofits and small business owners in majority Black communities to secure financing for energy projects, as well as building a more diverse talent pipeline to the clean energy industry. And he's focused on training students from HBCUs on the energy auditing software. So a great example of how MasterCard and these entrepreneurs can really scale. We can give them access to a lot of the things that will help them grow faster and create more impact.
Ellen, we've covered a ton and you're clearly taking on a ton. Thank you for walking us through it. Let's take a step back now and take a breath, because I want to just have a space to hear from you a bit about your reflection as you think about your own journey and what you've learned along the way. As you look back at the scope of your career and the range of ways that you've been involved in sustainability, I'm curious about leadership and how has your thinking on leadership evolved over time?
Well, you know, the position that I sit in now, my team is relatively small, like my actual team that technically reports to me. I mentioned the 30,000 people at MasterCard that are part of the sustainability team. And that's really kind of how I think about my role as a leader. It's about influencing. I don't have a lot of direct control, but I have a lot of influence. And I really need to make sure that I'm leveraging that, that I'm thinking very carefully about that, both inside the company as well as outside. MasterCard has a lot of power. We have a lot of powerful relationships, 3 billion cards in circulation. How do we leverage that to influence for good? So I spent a lot of time kind of honing those types of skills and making sure that I'm showing up in the right way with the right energy and the right ideas to help influence more meaningful impact.
As you look around the space, you're well connected to other sustainability leaders, similar organizations and different. And I'm curious, who inspires you? Are there others whose work is really inspiring and whom you hold in high esteem?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many. I just got off of a meeting earlier today. I had a lot going on this morning, the town hall. I had a big customer meeting. And just that conversation, it was with a fellow chief sustainability officer and their team, learning how this other organization is thinking about some of the challenges and what we're collaborating together. With each of these interactions, like, they bring me kind of more insight, more ideas for action. So I don't know, I find inspiration in so many different places, both kind of within this industry as well as outside. I think I'm lucky at this point in time in my career to, I feel like I have a seat where I can see a lot and I can learn from a lot of different really helpful people. So I don't know, I don't want to really name names, but I would just say it's almost like in each interaction, figuring out like where is their value and leveraging that and getting excited about building that into kind of my portfolio of where I'm headed and how I'm able to create a difference.
What about resources that keep your finger on the pulse and that you would recommend to others? Maybe a book, a report, podcast, an article, something that has influenced your thinking.
Well, one of the podcasts that I try to listen to as often as possible is Outrage and Optimism. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but love that.
It, of course. Yeah,
I'm a fan. It's Christiana Figueres, Tom Kardak, who were key parts leading the way to the Paris Agreement. And I feel like that podcast really has a very focused scope and always kind of the latest ideas of what's going on in this space. What do you need to know? And a lot of inspiring people who are talking about some innovative ideas. Project Drawdown is another resource that I tend to look at quite often. And they continue to build really helpful tools, particularly for organizations like mine. And then just for kind of daily news, I'm an avid reader of the New York Times and their Climate Forward section. So they often publish the latest research and perspectives on that. So I get a lot of data from that section of the New York Times.
Thanks so much, Ellen. Let's close out with sort of a big open-ended question and one that will hopefully push our thinking and give us something to chew on. Looking forward to take bolder action and move faster on climate, what do you think needs to change?
I mean, a lot. A lot needs to change. So how do you start absorbing that? How do you start acting on that? Thinking about some of the biggest levers, the biggest decisions that have been made that are impacting change at a systemic level, things like the Inflation Reduction Act and what that's done, not just here in the US, but to create that competitive spirit in Europe and in other regions of the world, I think is really interesting. I mentioned our strategy around sustainable consumption, inspire, inform, enable. We were in a discussion not that long ago where we were talking about the power of regulation. And then I was thinking, well, should our strategy actually be require, inspire, inform, enable? So the power of regulation, of legislation like the IRA, I think can be really powerful. But again, it's going to take many different things, many different ideas working together. But where I sit at MasterCard, having the support from our board, our CEO, the leadership team, to really innovate and challenge ourselves on how do we do more faster, particularly in the sustainable consumption area. Very excited about that work. We've got a lot of ambition and we're putting it into action.
Ellen, thanks so much. A pleasure, like always, to see you and get to chat. And best of luck with all this important work that you're doing.
Thanks so much, Jason.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Invested in Climate. Please remember to rate us on Apple, Spotify, or Google. Find show notes, sign up for updates, get in touch, and visualize your climate action at investedinclimate.com. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute financial, accounting, or legal advice. Thanks again.